to talk about all that's going on in the NFL, we bring in Ralph Vacchiano. Ralph, NFL reporter, writer for Fox Sports, and of course, longtime beat writer for the New York Giants. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
I'm doing great, Laurie. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. All right, where to start? So much going on. Let's start with, we'll start with the New York Giants. And so, what would you say to Giants fans who were elated, thrilled, over the moon excited about John Harbaugh as the head coach, and now Harbaugh loses out on his first choice of offensive coordinator in Todd Monken, who becomes the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and now the Giants fans are restless, there's no offensive coordinator, and they're worried? What would you say to those fans?
I'd tell them to calm down, and after getting John Harbaugh, I would not worry about the rest of his staff. I mean, my goodness, after, 12 years of complete misery, just be happy for a few minutes. Kind of enjoy it a little bit. I'm sure it's a bit of a bummer, even for John Harbaugh, that he lost out on his first choice for offensive coordinator, but there'll be others, and there's still some good candidates out there. So when I looked at his staffs,
through the years in with the Ravens,
I can't say every single coach worked out, but he's had some pretty good staffs. So I would, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that even if he lost his first choice, he'll find somebody good.
Yeah, as you said, not every candidate was perfect, but most of them were very good, and more often than not. Whether it was hiring Mike McDonald, who now is heading to the Super Bowl as a head coach, or even having Jesse Minter on his staff, who's the guy who's replacing him, and a number of others, he's had a lot of, and Todd Monken, who just got a head coaching job. There are many good coaches that have worked for him. So with that said, if we're stepping back big picture, what did you think? If we're looking at the three coordinator spots, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and special team coach, he brought over Chris Horton to be his special teams coach, the guy he worked with for years with the Ravens, and hired Denard Wilson to be his defensive coordinator. So far with those hires, if you had to give him a grade or a rating or whatever, so far do you like what he's been doing?
Yeah, I do. I think that, special teams coordinator, I think, first of all, he's worked with them for long enough that's good when you've got familiarity. That is always something that's really important. And certainly with John Harbaugh, who was a special teams coach way back in the day, that's important. And Denard Wilson is a guy who, he was with the Jets way back when, which, isn't necessarily a plus, but he's had a pretty, distinguished career. He was coached with the Eagles for a while, the Ravens. He was familiar with John Harbaugh. And, he's not I'm trying to think what his age is. I think he's in his early 40s. So he's not, as young as some of the other coaches, but he's thought of as sort of an up-and-coming guy, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I like that hire. I think that'll be pretty good. But the offensive coordinator to me was always really the key because of Jackson Dart and because of the offensive struggles they've had for years. If you get a guy like Denard Wilson and he can undo some of the damage that's been done to that defense, which underachieved really badly, I think, over the last couple of years, I think that could be a really good start for him.
All right. So offensive coordinator, you're seeing some of the names that are out there, and based on Harbaugh and what he's done in the past, he does seem to have a bent towards hiring guys who have already been play callers in the league, though right now he's interviewing a blend. There are, by rumor, there are some young players that are potentially in the mix, and we don't know if Davis Webb, the former Giants quarterback, is just going to stay in Denver and be promoted to offensive coordinator there. Alex Tanney is obviously would be a guy who doesn't have former play calling experience. But then some of the candidates are guys like Jim Bob Cooter and Cliff Kingsbury and Brian Callahan, who all do. Of some of the names you're hearing, and I'm sure there are probably candidates that are being interviewed that we don't know about and that they're not talking about, but of the ones and what you're hearing, any thoughts? Oh, there's Charlie Weiss Jr., who's with LSU, college coach, Jackson Dart's former offensive coordinator with Ole Miss. Of the kinds of coaches that you're hearing about, what would you be looking for if you were the New York Giants?
Well, I do think, and he may lean this way, I don't know that he'll necessarily go this way, but my understanding is that he's going to lean towards wanting somebody who's got play calling experience. Like you said, that's kind of been his MO through the years in Baltimore. I know that the people in the Giants organization are really impressed with the caliber of candidates he's brought in. You know, this is something that has been an issue for them, for a lot of their younger coaches and their newer coaches that they've hired in recent years, that the staffs weren't always that impressive. And even the choices of people to interview weren't always that impressive, but you know, he's got some guys in here who've called plays before and done it well. He's got some rising stars. Davis Webb and Alex Tanney, for example, are thought of as, you know, people who could be future head coaches in the league. Certainly, obviously future coordinators as well, what really well respected for their offensive knowledge. So it's a really deep pool. I think he's got guys that are going to end up wanting to work for him, but I would be surprised in the end, I think, if he doesn't hire somebody with experience. I mean, the name that jumps out to me, I know the Giants like him. I don't know if this is going to be his final choice, is Cliff Kingsbury, just because he's been really successful with quarterbacks. He did wonders with Kyler Murray early in his career. He did a great job with Jaden Daniels, you know, who had the greatest rookie quarterback season ever. And Jackson Dart is similar to them in his, you know, two-way ability. So he seemed to me to be a great fit, but you know, there's a lot of guys there with pretty good resumes, and it's one of the reasons why I think the Giants fans need to relax a little bit. I think they'll end up getting a good one.
I know you've covered, studied in recent years the entire NFC East, so obviously Washington Commanders being a part of that. What would you say to the knock on Cliff Kingsbury that, I mean, I think, look, if you go back on the plus side of Cliff Kingsbury, if you go back to all the college, both college and pro quarterbacks, I mean, you can throw Patrick Mahomes in there, Caleb Williams mm-hmm. in there. He has worked with a lot of quarterbacks, young quarterbacks who have been successful either with him or gone on to great success. So the ability to develop a quarterback seems to be in his skill set. The knock on him is that his offensive schemes and ability to adjust, that his offenses are not complex enough, that they maybe are predictable enough, that defensive coordinators adjust to him, and then in the second half of the season or in-game adjustments, that is not his strength, and therefore the second half of the season, whether it's with the Cardinals and Kyler or the Commanders last season or whatever it is. I understand Jaden Daniels got hurt, but that's the knock on him, that he's not as gifted with X's and O's.
I certainly heard that coming out of Arizona. I can't tell you that I watched every Cardinals game from that era. Some of them were pretty bad, so sure. I don't know, you know, for sure. I did see a lot of the Commanders games. It's hard to judge it because so much of what he would have been doing changed when Jaden Daniels got hurt and when he was limited because of his injuries. I think in that first season, you know, I don't remember hearing many people think it was too predictable because they certainly couldn't stop it. It's also hard to judge because some of the things that, you know, maybe they ran too much with Jaden Daniels, but some of that might have been him bailing on the play because he knew he could run and hadn't quite, you know, he was still a rookie. He was still learning how to make his reads and know when to run and when not to run. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. That's also something that the rest of the offensive staff could certainly get into, and you would think John Harbaugh would have a hand in. To me, at this stage, getting the most out of Jackson Dart, and you know, if the offense is predictable but good, I'd settle for that. And you know, you figure it out later. But you know, you need somebody mm-hmm. right now. Jackson Dart had a good year, but there's a long way to go, and you know, he might be a really good fit for that offense, even if it is a little bit predictable.
Yeah, the other thing I was saying is if you went in that direction, I don't hate it as long as you paired a Cliff Kingsbury with somebody, whether that's the quarterback's coach or someone else, a passing game coordinator or whatever you did, but somebody mm-hmm. who, yeah, therefore, you know, was a little bit more of an innovative mind. And if you pair him with somebody like that, that could be quite a strong combination. We're talking to Ralph Vacchiano of Fox Sports. All right, so a couple other things I did want to get to with you. One sure. is your thoughts on Bill Belichick is apparently not a first ballot Hall of Famer. And with yeah. that, what do you expect, if anything, to happen to the Hall of Fame voting process? Is it just, if a result like this can happen where arguably the greatest coach, NFL coach of all time, does not get in on the first ballot. If he doesn't get in on the first ballot, then I guess we're saying Andy Reid won't get in on the first ballot. Like, right. no coach ever is going to get in the first ballot. Coaches just don't get in on the first ballot. Like, it seems so broken to me that will this be the thing that humiliates the NFL into changing the Hall of Fame voting? I don't know. Is it, you know, adding a lot more voters? Is it changing the makeup of the voters? The process? Should it be more like Major League Baseball where you just mail in a ballot? What do they do here to fix this?
Well, it's all of the above. There should be more voters. There shouldn't be just 40 or 50, whatever the number is. There should be, you know, it shouldn't be a complex process like it is. I don't want to go through all the details, but it's not a simple.
Yeah, for people who are less
up or down vote.
Yeah, for people who are less familiar with it. Also, it's where, you know, guys get, you know, men and women get into a room and people are lobbying for them and making the case for them. And, you know, if you've ever worked in marketing, I mean, that's essentially like a focus group where we worry about groupthink. You know, you don't want right. that. You want, you know, people give baseball a hard time about stuff, but at least each person has to independently think what they think and send that ballot in. And there's,
right.
you know, if there's hundreds of voters, then some of the bias of 10% of the people, 20 people having a problem with a grudge against Bill Belichick can be washed out if you have 100 or 200 right. voters.
I always make the example of when you look at the, when the Hall of Fame vote comes out in baseball, I always look at the bottom. And there's always like some guy that got five or six votes that you're like, there's no way anybody thought he was a Hall of Famer. And we right. all have a good laugh out of it.
Right.
But if those six people are part of a voting block of 12, that becomes a problem. So the bigger the group you have, the less the stupid vote becomes important. Like, you get just a better
right.
sample.
Right.
Especially if you're voting up and down. And that's the other problem of it is you're not voting up and down. It's a lot of what you said of, you know, they can only get in five guys or seven guys. So it's, well, he's been waiting a long time. And, well, he'll be on the ballot next year. This might be his last chance. And a lot of, you know, wheeling and dealing among the writers. Hey, you vote for this guy. I'm trying to get him in. I'll vote for your guy next year.
Right.
And that's not the way it's supposed to be.
You and I are both old enough to have watched Kenny Anderson play football. And no offense to him. But there's no universe right. where Ken Anderson is you should be voting for Ken Anderson over Bill Belichick if you're getting a vote for the Hall of Fame.
Right. And that's where, while as much as the process is flawed and it kind of backed some people into a corner, the voters screwed up too, because exactly of that reason. If you're looking at the three senior candidates, Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, the guy that jumps out is the guy that has to go in is Bill Belichick.
He's over the first, he's the first choice over Kraft.
Yeah.
He should be the first
right.
choice.
100%. And everything else is reasoning. And I get the feeling, well, you know, those senior candidates, they may never come up on the ballot again. This might be their last chance.
I feel
well,
badly.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
And that's the process.
Yep.
But you can't then ignore Bill Belichick. It's like, it won't be the same situation because the player's vote is different. But imagine doing that if it's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. I mean,
right.
you don't make that choice for them, so why make that choice with Bill Belichick?
Right. It's absurd. So I hope this is the thing that spurs real change, that the NFL, I mean, from what you understand from sources, is the NFL humiliated enough to make change here?
Well, it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think the NFL certainly could put some pressure on them, but the people that run the Pro Football Hall of Fame and even the voters in that room have historically been really, really protective of the process. And I don't know that there'll be an impetus to change, but There should be. And we could spend an hour on all the things that need to change in there, but sometimes they just say, hey, this is the way we've always done it. It should be hard to get in. And this is nonsense. I hope they're embarrassed by this, and I hope they do change it.
Talking to Ralph Vacchiano about the NFL. And so two more thoughts. One is, as you look ahead to the Super Bowl, obviously we have the two teams there, one in the Patriots with a Mike Vrabel as a first-year but experienced head coach and Drake May as a second-year very talented quarterback. If you're a Giant fan, what are the lessons that you can take a look at from that Patriots team and say, not necessarily the Giants are going to be in the Super Bowl next year, but that, in terms of being encouraged, what are the things that you can look at and say, we should be doing more of this if we want to be on that path?
Well, first, I think they should be encouraged that a turnaround can be really quick. This is an extraordinary turnaround, but if you have the coach and the quarterback, you've got everything. You've got enough. You can fill in the pieces around it, and you'll figure out a way. And I think that you can look at the Giants and say, there's similar talent there. They've got guys who can rush the passer. They've got some experience in the secondary. They've got some weapons around Jackson Dart. So I think that you can, I think they could win next year. I don't know if they're going to go to the Super Bowl next year, but I think they can win more than a lot of people think. Discipline coaching.
Yeah, it could be a nine-win. Yeah, maybe it is a nine-win team that's on the outside of a wild card, kind of contention or something like that. So think it is possible?
Absolutely. And I don't think, if you look at Drake May, obviously the Patriots got some extraordinary breaks with their schedule, which certainly helped. But they built a running game around him. They obviously built a defense. They did not put it all on the quarterback and said, go throw for 300 yards every week. So that's a big lesson. But I don't think John Harbaugh is going to be looking for Jackson Dart to be Lamar Jackson right off the bat. I think he'll do a good job of protecting him. And, the Giants fans probably need to keep their expectations low because the schedule won't be as weak as the Patriots was. Yeah. But the football is going to improve. Once you get that coach and that quarterback, everything changes.
All right, last one before I let you go. Obviously, another huge topic this week with the New York Giants. Giants co-owner Steve Tisch and the emails that came out with the Epstein files, the release of all those files, and the correspondence between Steve Tisch and Jeffrey Epstein, the sex trafficker and sex offender, we saw the statement from Steve Tisch. Number one, what did you think of the response from Steve Tisch? And then number two, what do you think will happen next in terms of Steve Tisch and his role with the Giants, in terms of whether it's what the NFL wants, what the Giants and the Mara family wants or whatever, where do you see this going?
Yeah. Well, I don't think Steve Tisch's statement was nearly enough. Obviously, we all know what Jeffrey Epstein was all about. We all know what the implication is in those emails. And he may be exactly right that he was just talking about adult women. But if you read those emails, that's still pretty horrible, creepy, offensive, and disgusting what it was in those emails.
Yep.
So, I think he deserves, I think he has to explain a lot more. I think the Giants have to explain a lot more. The NFL needs to explain a lot more. I'm sure they're going to be looking into this. Obviously, if it turns out that underage women were involved, he should rot in hell and rot in jail. And, that's a whole other criminal element. But even just if you take him at his word, there's a chance that what he seems to have been doing in those emails and just the way he spoke about women in general could violate the personal conduct policy. And owners are subject to that. So, I don't know if that's enough to make him sell the team or just be a fine, but my guess is after that, and I know some people around the Giants are already steaming a little bit about that as well, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot less of Steve Tisch and hear a lot less about him and maybe his brother,
Jonathan
taking a little bit more, kind of step into the forefront. I think even if he's still technically co-owner of the team, he's not really the active guy anyway, but I think it's going to be now less and less. He'll look for a backdoor out And if he doesn't, the NFL will probably show him the way out, I would think.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if his brother, Jonathan Tisch, does not assume some of, does not assume, not even some of, does not assume his role with the team. And
yeah,
because I just am not sure with those emails, when you read them, how he could be, you know, how does he show up for an owner's meeting? How does he moving forward interview coaching candidates or GM candidates, or show up at a, you know, when a player number is retired or anything happens around the franchise? I just don't know how you can do that. Yeah. So I would expect that Jonathan Tisch's brother has to take over for him.
He referred to a woman as a present being delivered to him. I don't know how you face the women who are your employees after that, and the family members of people in the Giants organization. It just goes against so many things that are, I always thought the Giants, you know, there's a right. lot of religious people there, very, you know, a lot of, they try to do the right thing. They don't always do the right thing, but they try. Something like this just goes so much against all of that, that I know they're not happy with it. I can't imagine as if there's more. That they'll be happy about that either. I think, you know, they're going to want this to just go away. And I'm sure, you know, we haven't really seen or heard much of him in the last 4 or 5 years. It's probably going to be less now, because it's, those emails were just, even if they're not criminal, they're creepy and disgusting.
Yeah, and the language is, you know, I can talk about it later in the program, but the some of the references to, you know, somebody being a professional, you know, language that, yeah. At least sounds like you're talking about prostitution, whether that's accurate or not, but that's certainly the language that it certainly sounds like. And, you know, for somebody, this is 2013 that this conversation is happening. By then, Jeffrey Epstein had already gone to prison for soliciting right. an underage, prostitute, like
yeah.
that he went to prison for underage solicitation already before that. And,
right.
You know, even if you want to say that you were, you know, dealing with adult women, you're still in, you know, what you're dealing with, the person you're dealing with has already served a prison term by then for, soliciting an underage, woman. So that's a problem.
The implications are just terrible. And again, you know, we have no idea if there's any criminal activity, but the NFL doesn't need that to enforce its personal conduct policy. They right. can do it by, you know, you hurt the image of the NFL, we want to fine you because of that. Yep. Or we want to yep. suspend you because of that. So I'm sure, even though they haven't said anything, which is, you know, I think they're going to have to. Roger Goodell, I guarantee you.
Oh, it's going to be a
Super Bowl,
big topic. If you're Goodell, how do you feel about this? You do your one big annual press conference, Super Bowl week, and this story mm-hmm. breaks. Like, knowing all of your fellow reporters, you think anybody's going to ask about Jeffrey Epstein, Steve Tisch story?
100% that'll be asked in there someplace, and maybe that's why they haven't issued a statement. They know that he's going to say something then, but they can't stay quiet in it forever. It'll come up.
Yeah, it's going to be a big topic. And if you're the NFL, to have that smirch and be a topic of discussion Super Bowl week, I mean, this is the last week you wanted this to pop up.
Yeah.
All right. Ralph Facciano of Fox Sports, really appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, Lori. Thanks for having me on.